Oh, now that's right. How come you guys haven't moved that bookcase?
Oh, I think Scott has a plan for it.
Hmm? It's going to Lacage instead of.
That would be why. Yeah.
We'll play tomorrow.
Surely, I thought surely there were enough of you to. Otherwise, you'd get Beth to do it. All right, what should we look at?
So, I'd like to look at sexual energy and second chakra stuff. So,
I just have to ask you about that right there. Are those two separate questions, mm-hmm. or do you experience sexual energy as second chakra energy?
The latter. Well, that's one of the things I want to talk about. In my mind, it's like they're the same.
The second chakra and sexual energy.
Second chakra, well, or one is a subset of the other. I think a sexual energy is living in the second chakra area. But to see clearly, I don't know. So what I'm looking at or what I'm wondering about is, so you said on a couple of occasions that I've heard that it's all energy, and it's all the same. It's all, but when it's first chakra, it gets kind of labeled this, and second chakra this, and so on. And I've been looking at creativity. And you know, what we say in the prostrations about I'm one with the fire of creation and I invite this energy into my life and all of that. And
creation would be.
Oh, I thought that was
third chakra, isn't it?
Oh, I thought that was second.
Isn't that the way it goes in the?
Yeah. Oh, what's second chakra?
Abundance.
That's what it is. Oh, okay. Well, that kind of puts a kink in my heart.
Were you looking at sexual abundance?
No, I'm looking at sexual creativity. I mean, in my mind, it was like, my whole Catholic upbringing, procreation, all of that, but.
Of course, if you were a good Catholic, we wouldn't even be having this conversation because I don't think you're in the market for having children, are you?
No, I know. I would still be married somewhere in the panhandle of Texas, actually, where I'm. God, yeah. But believe me, that prayer has gone up a time or two. But here's sort of the crux of it and what I've been looking at and started processing a little bit with the Ashwini is around what's the point of sexual energy in the life of a monastic or a celibate person, in the sense of what do we do with it, or how do we even look at it in that sense? Do you know?
Well, how are you looking at it?
Well,
because you started off. That what we've talked about before is energy is energy. So it's wherever it gets kind of bottled up or mm-hmm. stuck that we label it something.
Yeah.
So, people will talk about mental energy because they live in their heads, mm-hmm. right? Or emotional energy. I always think of the second chakra, but.
Me too.
And so, or physical. You have physical energy, of course, because you're going to get out there and run, or you're mm-hmm. going to clean the garage, or whatever you're going to do. So, sexual energy.
Yeah, to me, that... Well, so what I've been looking at lately is this... I suspect a bamboozle going on, and that there's a sort of a robbing of whatever energy that would be caused, because I tend to keep getting these, it's not as strong as it used to be, but these wants of a relationship, or, well, when this part of my life is done, then I'll be able to...
Because you can fill that blank in with a lot of things,
exactly.
Right?
And yes. And so how, why is this? You know, why, how, you know, what's going on that it's getting channeled there? And...
Well, but isn't everything
getting channeled?
Well, when this part of your life is over, then you will have a job somewhere. Then you'll have your own real house. Then visit your children whenever you want. When this part of your life is over, then you'll...
Well, you know, I know why you're saying that, because it's for the past 4 years it has been so
things have been going in that category.
Maybe this is just the last hanger on or something, because it doesn't actually feel like those things are, they have any pull, any juice, actually. You know, because when you said that, have your own house and all, like, and get a job, like, you know. Yeah. I mean, so maybe that's all this is. It's just sort of the last little...
Well, it does sound very similar, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It, I mean, it has all those same... And the interesting thing is the assumption that... how did you phrase it? There's going to be a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And those two don't necessarily go together.
Okay, well, to be real honest, okay, you're going to have sex in your life again.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you just threw in the relationship.
Just to make it a little more.
Like a nice person. Kids are in Catholic doctrine.
Yeah, basically. And, yeah, exactly. But, yeah. But there's another piece of it, which I've been... looking at in terms of a lot of hip issues and pain, and it just kind of makes me wonder what's going on with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something to, I mean, I'm telling you, these sessions with our yoga teacher have been so enlightening.
Is she introducing these topics into the
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all her idea,
I never thought about that. I came along.
She started introducing me to all these muscles around my hips, and I was like, okay, well.
Why have sex?
But do you see kind of the whole...
Well, I
would just like to know the next.
Yeah, there are a couple of things about it, right? So there is the just plain old, what is the role of sexual energy in monastic living, and then there's all this other stuff, right?
Yeah.
So that you're wondering about where that energy is, what that energy is, why there, what's the connection between that energy and the thought processes that are connected with it, all the beliefs and assumptions about everything.
Exactly.
Right? Because it's all connected, isn't it? Because there is the, And how it's used by ego to cause suffering.
Yes.
Yeah. So, do you drink coffee?
I drink decaf sometimes when I'm out in the world.
Did you used to drink coffee?
I did, but it made me like this. Like a little bit would just make me, and I didn't like that feeling at all.
How about sugar?
Oh, God, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because what it does doesn't show, right? So
I just made me feel good.
Hmm?
I said, it just made me feel good.
Yeah, okay, good. And so now you live in a place where there isn't any sugar.
Mm-hmm.
A man hears you and say, oh, yes, there is. There's a gram of it in that, and there are 2 grams of it in that. She's listening.
But by and large,
for somebody who loves sugar, there's not a lot of sugar available. So what do you do with that?
I had let go of sugar in like 2011, and I moved here in 2013, so I had already tapered way, 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 way off. And so it didn't, right now, it's kind of like, I mean, whatever sugar I enjoy, it's usually in fruit, and it feels just great. It feels natural and wholesome, and not too much and not too little, and fine.
Okay. And so I'm guessing then that from 2011 on, you haven't spent a lot of time thinking about chocolates.
No, I can tell you right when I made that choice how it was. Is that what you...
Well, we're just kind of exploring
okay. How
we go from something that has a lot of our attention to something that doesn't have a lot of our attention.
Uh-huh. Well, so using the sugar analogy, when I decided, it was in the New Year's retreat, okay, this is the year, this is it, I came home and I cleared out all my whole kitchen, and anything like I thought James might still want to eat, I made him put it in his bedroom closet so I wouldn't have. Yeah, so it's like I got it all out of my sight. I introduced all kinds of other good things, like I just was totally enamored with all kinds of vegetables that I'd never tried before, and cooking, and I invest a lot of time in what, and it made that real fun.
So you turned your attention to something else,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds like use the relationship that you had at one time with sugar for other things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So can you remember back? Did you spend inordinate amounts of time thinking about sugar?
Only on occasions, you know, like celebrations, holidays, things like that. But even then, once the choice was made, not really, I don't think.
So you didn't spend a lot of time thinking about it?
No. That's key, isn't it? Yeah.
Because whatever we turn our attention to is going to have us.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I mean, this is Zen Buddhism. We don't have too much going on about too much of anything, right? So, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Right? We can't even taste between you and your God. So, in fact, we had a monk here for a very long time who was obsessed about sex, and lived in a state of deprivation over not having sex.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, why don't you go have sex? Okay. Obsessed, obsessed, obsessed. Be miserable, miserable, miserable. Take it out on everybody else. Why don't you just go have sex?
Yeah.
So now, why didn't you? I mean, I was thought that was a fascinating thing that it would have been probably marvelous for him to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I can't do that. I can't do that. That's not okay. That's wrong. I'm just gonna be tortured about it. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no fear to be tortured. Mm-hmm. I'll give a good post that.
Yeah.
So of course my contention was that if he did it, he would find out a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
One, it probably would not have been as swell as it was in his mind,
mm-hmm.
because there was going to be another human being involved, which always brings difficulty.
Yeah.
So if we're allowed, or we're, I guess we could say made in this case, to have something that's being held there as a desirable something, but we can't have it, then
yeah.
What's that?
I can see the trap in that. Here's where I would love a little direction. So all those other things that you said a minute ago, the beliefs and assumptions and what's going on with the body and all of that, I'm not sure because I'm not far enough into it to really know this, but I suspect that when I turn my attention to those kinds of questions, it's going to be like sliding off into the giving the attention to sex and the longing and all of that. And I just, well, I guess if it does, it does. And I get to see.
Well, how would that follow?
Kind of like an opening of Pandora's box.
So, to consider what's going on with you, to bring conscious awareness to the subject, would be opening Pandora's box.
I think that's the fear or the belief, yeah. I know it's not my experience, but...
Well, and once again, talk about there's no freedom.
Yeah. Exactly, which is
so
not...
If it does, it does. But, I mean, you certainly know the difference between being present to what you're experiencing and going off into fantasy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would seem like an important distinction.
Yes.
So, if you sit around and fantasize about the perfect sexual partner who's going to... whatever, then that's probably not going to resolve whatever karmic issues you have going about sex.
For the body. And so as I'm looking...
And you know, sex is not the body.
Yeah. What I meant by that was, if I start, yes, those are those steps. Thank you. I think that's what the two things that are meshed together that need to be separated.
So there's the quote, I'm sure I've said this a number of times, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mm-hmm. And my teacher said, exactly backwards.
Yeah.
The flesh is just fine. Spirit,
yeah,
has given us trouble.
Okay, so what I'm seeing is that, of course, I can explore whatever is going on with the body, or, you know, I mean, all of these things. And as ego tries to derail me, I'll see that. Mm-hmm. It pulls me off into fantasy, or pulls me off into the future, or tries to. That's par for the awareness practice course. It just
yes,
does that.
That's how you see it.
And yeah, that's how I see it. Mm-hmm. And I can see that there was that fusing of those two, like, don't look at the body, well, which is probably why all these muscles that I'm finding aren't active, have fallen asleep in the first place. It's just through this big band of unconsciousness. Mm-hmm. And so...
And unconsciousness and wrong and bad and
yeah.
Sin and guilt and desire and lust and... Ooh!
All that.
Mix all of those together, you can... Start a religion.
Yeah.
Pretty fun, huh?
Pretty fun. I was just kind of getting there. I was like, wow, there's a lot to see, mm-hmm. And a little more freedom than there was 5 minutes ago, you know, mm-hmm. to do that.
Yeah, you know, of course, that's one of the many, many, many things that I love about Zen Buddhism. There's only suffering or freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And we're never going to find freedom through repression,
mm-hmm.
or fear.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not.
Mm-hmm.
So that idea that I have to, well, do I? So I was like snickering to myself. Now, you know, about the relationship and it's all done, and there you are on some island together on a white sandy beach with the drinks with the umbrellas in them, and it's just heaven. And then you're actually in a relationship with another human being, and it is just not as fun as those commercials would make you believe. But there, now you've gone out there. Right? Because you can't just go around having sex with people. I mean, that's, you know, you can't do that. That's deeply,
not in my generation.
That's deeply wrong. Oh, I think you'd be surprised at what your generation is capable of. But at any rate, and so you live an entire life based on the fear of something that if you pursued it, you would actually find out you don't want it. And so I think it's one of those places in a lot of people's lives where they quit right before they would get the information that, that would be most helpful.
That is, you know, because, you know, right the year or so before I moved here, I was going through this whole sexual workshop big time, you know, looking at that and hearing a lot of the same stuff. And I was back going, no, but I can't, you know, yes, no, you know, like that. And it just, yeah, it's just kind of coming around again, I guess, to be looked at on a deeper level or another level.
Well, or yeah, you're more ready to look at it. From the new perspective that you have now. That's the, you know, people, we all know that. It's like it comes around again. It's some sort of punishment. Like you did it wrong the last time.
You got to incomplete in the course before, and now you got to finish,
Rather than, okay, I'm ready to see this from a new perspective, with new eyes.
All right. Jen? I have something I want to explore also. And there's this parallel track with, I'm having a workshop with health and those sorts of things for the last span of time, and it's, wow, it's teaching me so much. It's amazing. And one of the things I feel like it's teaching me is how to look and how to pay really, really close attention. And it's revealing things that I'm, it's just one of those, wow, how did I miss that sort of places.
I can tell you how. You would really like an answer. That wasn't just a rhetorical question.
Sure.
You never needed to look. You know, all that, everything that we talk about is available to people all the time. Almost nobody ever looks at it until they have to.
That is so completely what I've been recording about in terms of this is a giant gift. Because it really feels like on the process level, it's an answer to a prayer that's happening through this particular content. You know, like it's forcing me to places that I just, it was like I just kept saying, what? I don't know what, you know, and I don't even know what, I don't know what is. I can't even articulate that, but just a sense of, I need help here. And this thing is pushing me to those places. And it's remarkable. And one of the things that's remarkable is how, I mean, I don't know. Mostly, I don't know. That's just a huge summary statement. But suddenly, there are things where I'm like, wow, that makes a huge difference. Or at least for now, it seems to. And what is remarkable to me is when I stop doing something that evidently hasn't been working for the body, how quickly the body metaphorically moves back to center. Wow. So it's one of the things I've been recording about is I just know. In fact, I have this very religious sense of it. That literally, it's almost like the content is just being like literally implanted or given to me so that I can see the process. Because I just have this sense that there are things just like that hiding in plain sight that I'm doing that I don't realize I'm doing that are creating suffering, that are preventing that movement.
Can you look around this room and see how everybody else is doing that?
Oh, you mean because it's not so obvious?
It's so obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
We just listen to what people say and well, if you quit doing that, you would get a lot better, a lot better.
So here's one that, so it's kind of motivating me to look under stones that are labeled like there's nothing under there.
Exactly.
And one of them that I is really very obvious, but I'm not sure I've ever really, I can't remember if we're talking about it that much, or maybe I haven't, I don't remember, I don't know. But anyway,
I'll let you know.
It's kind of a, the way I would talk about it is public humiliation karma. And I was thinking it kind of takes, it takes several forms, but one of them would be, like, and all of this is from a really young age. Like you, the proverbial you, you can yell at me all you want as long as it's just the two of us. But if there's someone else watching, that's crushing. Or it can take the form of, I mean, stuff like, I have to hide. Oh, like it happened on Saturday. I was at an event I mean, I saw it, and it was small, but this is a good example. I have a Fitbit, and the strap was coming loose, and it came loose enough that it came off my wrist, and I didn't realize it. And when I first discovered that, I think the first thing was huge disappointment, but the second thing was shame. And, like, I had to hide that happened. And, you know, if I stopped and said, now, what are you ashamed of? There would be no answer. It's not like, well, I can't believe. It's not even like, oh, I shouldn't have had it on because I knew it was broken. It's not even that. It's just like, I don't want that attention. So what would normally happen, and this happened throughout my life in a billion different circumstances, I would hide that and then be thinking about it, and then as soon as everyone was out of my way and I had them occupied doing whatever, I by myself would look everywhere for it. And I saw it, so in this case, I just named it. I just said to the people I was with, I lost my Fitbit. Just to kind of plow through that, you know, not let that take hold. But the other place it's shown up, of course, is learning, is not being allowed to participate, even in things that I would love to participate in, because of not wanting that kind of, like an example that dropped in was years ago, we were in Zimbabwe, and we were with a group of sisters, and they were playing cards. I can't remember when they were playing something that I didn't know how to play, and they were like, oh, well, till I teach you. And I didn't. Because of that dynamic. Mm-hmm. And here's what I realized. I love that first conversation you just had, is that the karma is to survive that. And that's what keeps happening. It happened to me in an email today. It's to survive it over and over and over. And what I realized is that survival is completely keeping it in place. Mm-hmm. Because I'm never going straight through it. And never proving to myself that there's nothing there. Mm-hmm.
Well, and of course it's just ego.
Right.
Yeah. So ego controlling circumstances so that it's always protected.
Yeah.
So somebody was asking me today about he's new to practice and he was asking me about self esteem. Mm. And you know, what I've got to try to explain to him is, well, the less self there is, the more esteem there will be, right? Because it's only the self that is worrying about what people think and how I look and do they like me and am I a success? And to see that that technique that ego is using to get you.
Yes, exactly.
To cover it up, to take care of it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So, may I ask you another question? So, if people know, say with the Fitbit thing, or the cards, none of the Fitbit is better, but either one will work. Is there a concern that people will feel something about you that you won't be able to stand?
Hmm.
Will they feel sorry for you? Or
that was coming up for me, sorry for me, which is really right down there on the bottom of the
list of desirable experiences to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, as you say that, just a whole bunch of things flash. Like, even that comes up for me, like, if I'm in a medical appointment or that sort of thing, like, way, way, way less now. But basically wanting to take care of the person who's taking care of me by, like, if I'm telling them this is going on with me, and they're like, oh, I don't, you know, and I'm like, oh, it's okay, I'm sure it's fine. It's not, that doesn't exactly fit with that. But just that sense of, like,
well, it is with control.
Exactly.
You're gonna control the circumstances so that.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about last week, is that suddenly everywhere I'm seeing control as the process, just everywhere, all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. There was something else when you asked me that. So the cards and the phone, I think of things.
Anyway, I particularly saw it with the learning to play cards.
Yeah.
To be have that spotlight on you, and if you can't really get
in
your
exactly.
Yeah, you can't meet the expectation, then it's just going to be.
Exactly. So there's like a. I know. You're the one. Some years back when we started to really get into looking at facilitation and, getting to have more training and that sort of thing, the dread was so enormous.
Mm.
So enormous. To having someone see how I facilitate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a huge clue because that's how I'm controlled, is that it's much better to live small and careful and not be seen than to risk what's going to happen. And every time the opposite happens.
Well, to risk ego judgment.
Yeah, exactly.
That's in all of those cases, it's not, nothing's going to happen from the outside.
Yes.
Of course, that's what we're told. We believe it. It will come from out there.
Yes.
But as you say, your experience tells you it never does. Mm-hmm. It always comes from inside our own head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's probably the critical reminder right there, is that it's ego racing against ego, right? It's getting me to be afraid of its reaction.
Yes.
But that reaction is projected outward.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's the beautiful part that we all get to watch over and over and over again, but somehow it doesn't sink in. It never comes from the outside.
Yeah.
It's always happening inside the head.
Yeah.
And we continue to believe.
Yeah.
We actually believe that it's happening outside.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, that's scary crazy.
It is scary crazy. Yeah. So I'm not sure what the relationship with it other than just, just breaking the circuit, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Just doing the.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you did with the Fitbit.
Right.
Oh. Lost my Fitbit. And I'm guessing. You survived that.
Oh, completely. I mean, once that's done, once that threshold is crossed, it's over.
Uh-huh.
It's completely done. There's no residue.
Yeah, so well, that's good. Then you know what the antidote is.
Yeah. Yeah, just cross the threshold.
Nothing to it. So go ahead and do that.
Well, I want to look at something I did today.
Something you did today?
Yeah. And to get a little more clarity on it. But first I want to say that I've been inspired by folks talking about recording every hour. And I just want to say that, wow, it is, it's so...
You've been doing it, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's so incredibly helpful. Just to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as conversations that I would think are not going on.
Mm-hmm.
And to just pick that up and go, oh my gosh, it's just an incredible backdrop, or I don't know what the backdrop
and
is.
And so,
the word.
So you pick up the recorder and you're aware of where you've been.
Yeah, exactly.
But as you're aware of where you've been, you're also aware of where you actually are.
Yes. Well, just aware of. Just more deeply aware of where I've been being taken without.
Mm-hmm. So here you are just in this beautiful place, and maybe you're in the kitchen and you're doing this stuff, and in your head, you're being drawn and quartered
Right, yes, and have yeah, drawing a corner for something I did, mm-hmm. and that there is how the intention. I mean, this is a no-brainer, but it's never as the incredible things that have been accomplished.
Never.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know,
isn't that comforting? You know, because for a long time we think that there's hope.
Yeah.
In that system, mm-hmm. you know, you're gonna fix yourself. Exactly. You're gonna prove enough.
That's the
hope. Say good job.
Yeah. If I just present my case this way, and if they just, you know, I can get them to understand.
Yeah.
You know, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, and it's never going to work.
It's never going to work. So anyway, it's very powerful. Mm-hmm. And, so just want to put it in there.
And I'm guessing and hoping that part of what goes on with the recordings is that you actually are having fun with this and that and enjoying that and seeing that and that. And
I've been using it to just acknowledge what's the great things that have been going on.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts about that, uh-huh. is that irrefutable evidence that it's a good life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that irrefutable evidence. So here's what I did today.
Is this a confession?
This is one of the things that I found myself obsessing about and I would just like some assistance looking at it because I'm told it's a tendency I have, and I just want to look at this squarely, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was, I'll tell you what it was. I was coming.
She's really good.
This is to be drawn and quartered for. So I was coming home from taking the truck out to get it repaired. And I knew I was going to come back down past the garbage cans that were empty and needed to come back down to the monastery. So it's like, well, here I am. Why is the garbage cans? I'll bring it back to the monastery. So I sent a text saying, you know, I'm going to stop and pick up the garbage cans. And I got a text that that's not what we do. And that I should look at my tendency. And
your tendency to pick up straight.
So I feel really.
It's getting warm in here.
Well, so I don't know where to go with this now. It's like I just realized there's a lot of things that I don't understand. That they don't understand, you know, I'm not coming from the practice principle behind, that I'm just like trying to do it right, you know, because I don't want to be doing something that we don't do, you know.
Well, if I may, and I don't know, because I wasn't involved in this, but this is my projection. And I just had a long conversation with somebody else recently about this. You're coming along with the truck, mm-hmm. and you see the garbage cans. Mm-hmm. You think, well, I can just put those garbage cans in the back of the truck and make them down. Easy, easy, right? Mm-hmm. And so, what did you do? You sent a text asking if this was a good idea.
I didn't say it was a good idea. I asked him if it was a good idea. I said, I'm on my way back. I'm going to stop and pick up the garbage cans on my way back.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't.
You weren't actually.
I wasn't saying, do you think this is a good idea?
Mm-hmm. Next time you do
this. I'm just making an announcement that this is what I was
supposed to do. Okay. So here's the thing about that. And it is a very subtle and tricky place in practice. It really is. So I was explaining to somebody a couple of times in just the last few days, actually, that the reason that we do things in the particular ways that we do them is because when we don't, the chaos that ensues is just horrific. And almost nobody is ever in it. We have one person in the organization, actually, who has the actual big picture. Mm-hmm. And she's rarely in the same place we are. Mm-hmm. That would not be me, right? Okay? And so not having the big picture, so you're going to stop and pick up the garbage cans. But the whole structure of the place is laid out so that when you get back with the truck, somebody is going to go get the garbage cans, and that and their thing is laid out so that, you know, and if they don't do that, then what are they going to do, and how does that affect?
So the, yeah, okay.
And it rolls on all the way down. And it becomes the, you know, the deed goes unfinished, where that came from. And so it's nothing personal. It's mm-hmm. not that it wouldn't be great to do that. Mm-hmm. It's just that the structure mm-hmm. can unravel so quickly mm-hmm. if somebody mm-hmm. steps out of the, you know, it's kind of like a choreographed dance. And all of a sudden one person realizes that this would be great right there. And maybe it would be. You know, and maybe the next time we would want to do that. But in this situation. So that's what you're being encouraged to look at. Not to pay attention.
Right.
Not to offer.
Yeah.
Not to communicate. Yeah. None of that. But just to be aware of that large fabric of threads.
That is so clarifying. Because, you know, just being with that, I can see it's just the myopic me
yes.
orientation.
Yes,
you know, like, okay, I'm just going to pick this, these cans up. It's like there's nobody else on the planet
yes.
that this is going to affect.
Yes.
In fact, it's a good deed.
Yes.
It's, you know, going to help.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
You know, and then, yeah.
Which it would be uh-huh. if it didn't require somebody then getting in touch with somebody else to say, don't leave the garbage cans because
the cans aren't there.
And then you can't get a hold of that person. And then that person goes and gets the truck and drives up to get the garbage cans and then says, they're in the garbage can.
Yeah.
And maybe that person decides, we need to call the garbage can.
Well, I had thought of that, and that person was in the string, so I had thought that far.
Mm-hmm.
But still, in all, to see, to realize that.
Because in any one particular case like this, it probably would be fine,
mm-hmm.
especially if the other people involved are all on the thread. Oh, I'm so mm-hmm. Excuse me while I wander around up here.
Wow. They only bend in certain directions. Do you notice that?
Mm. Sometimes they don't even want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's more a principle than anything else.
Yeah.
And that's the, yeah, that's what we're up against.
Yeah.
And so that's why you'll, I don't know how often you can hear Ashwini's teeth gritting, but, you know, there will be a whole plan laid out.
Uh-huh.
And someone says, well, how about if we,
yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
I'm going to kill you, okay? Because it's taken hours, perhaps days, to get this plan in place.
Yes. Yeah.
And then this person sees moving this one part would make it so much better.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually it wouldn't.
Yeah. Boy, it's just, there's just so much you can't appreciate. If you haven't, let's see, it's hard to appreciate if you haven't walked in those shoes,
yes.
so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, I know so many tasks I've been here, and I wasn't until I did them that I realized, oh my gosh,
yeah,
you know, I see now what was, you know, and
yeah, and we can't know, and so even in like your role in the kitchen, it can seem like, it would be great to, or this would be better if this,
right.
And then you find out this person is definitely allergic to, you know, whatever that is, you know, and then we're in a, why didn't anybody tell me?
Right.
Well, we didn't need to tell you because that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, there's just so many examples of that, and thank you so much.
And the part that I want to underline is, you know, we are learning to be present. We're not getting to that zombie automaton. I'm just going to stand here and wait till somebody tells me to move.
Right.
But to have the larger picture and realize how many, even with such a small group, how many moving parts there are all day long. I mean, it's so funny. Jen and Scott and I, along with Ashwini, are, you know, doing all this physical stuff on the property. We've got this whole week laid out. You know, and Josh is going to this, and he's going to this, and he's going to do that, and then he'll go there, and he'll pick up that, and then he'll do that. And he's not coming in. It's like, right off the cliff, because everybody's life was all lined up for these things to happen. So, it's just.
I just love your image, choreographed dance. Yeah. Forever, because I can see that being a person that was off and out of step. I can just see that so well. And I could just see, you know, with Josh not coming in. Boy.
It can be an hour, an hour and a half of trying to put the pieces back together.
Oh, yeah. And everybody, like.
Yeah. So to be aware of everything that's going on to the best of our ability, to have a sense of that, to see problems when we can see them, and to say it, to communicate, not to get into, well, somebody must know about this, you know, because maybe nobody knows about this. And then when we do have a suggestion or have a recommendation about something, to be aware that the answer might be, actually, we can't do that because it's going to, you know, there are all these other pieces depending on that. But thank you for seeing it and thinking of it and suggesting it.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Yeah. So I saw something in meditation today, and I thought I'd check it out. So there's the daily recollection that says the joy of intelligence knowing itself. And there was the, you know, the back and forth between cotton story, one. And then I was like, so who's caught in the story? I'm caught in the story. Well, who's I? Well, there is no I. So then it was all of a sudden, okay, there's no I. So intelligence, that's what animates us, right? That's our true nature. And on that premise, then, all I have is intelligence running through me. Does it get caught in the story? Does it get kind of bamboozled in the story?
Do the whole quote.
Well, I can't now that you asked me.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to go from that anyway. Pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
Yes. So that came
along. Those two go so nicely together, don't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So what really sunk in like in a way that it hasn't sunk in before, is, I hate to use pronouns because they kind of mess everything up. All that's here is pure undisturbed consciousness.
Well, consciousness.
Okay, all that
you're describing disturbance.
Okay, but it's still consciousness.
Okay.
So where I got to was, I finally get that there's no I. It's either disturbed consciousness or undisturbed consciousness. Disturbed consciousness being caught in a story.
The illusion of a self that is separate from life.
Yes, but what I felt like I was coming back to wasn't an I that had to identify with being centered or identify with the breath or identify with consciousness. It was just consciousness. I don't know what to do. So revolutionary.
Oh, absolutely. It's
like consciousness. Okay, now I'm not. Sorry. Huh? Here. What really is consciousness?
Yeah, here.
Yeah.
Awareness. Intelligence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it felt like I really could understand that there is no I.
Yes.
Now it's more difficult.
I is an illusion.
Yeah.
It's an illusion. It's a process. It's a amalgamation or conglomeration of processes that create an illusion of permanence. So that's all going on. So all that's going on, and that going on creates the illusion that there is a someone that is happening to.
Right. And so I guess I was finally seeing that it's not an I that has to identify with center or an I that identifies with conditioning. There is no I there to do either of that. It's either undisturbed consciousness.
So when we say awareness doesn't need someone to be aware, that's what you're closing in on.
And back to the joy of intelligence knowing itself. Intelligence right here.
Yes.
Not caught in suffering.
Yes. Well, and by the time, there's that, and then by the time there's an awareness of that, ooh, that was intelligent. Right? So it's just slipping.
The flip between either one. And I felt like I felt like I cut out the middleman. Woman. Person. Mm-hmm.
Illusion.
Illusion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was fun.
Yeah. Well, and good. You can tell. So, with that, and I think we were talking about this on Project Joy the other day. But I could have just been talking to myself about this. But there's the We're going along. We get started with practice the way we do practice, and it's pretty obvious that this may be an illusion, but I'm it. I am an illusion, right? That's me. And so then we're trying to get to center. We're trying to get to center. We're trying to find what is center, and we just pulled off into we constantly. We just live in blah blah blah, and once in a while there's a little blip of light, and we feel like but not really sure. And then we get to that point that you're describing, where we realize this is awareness. And from that place, you can feel the pull of conditioned mind. Mm-hmm. Now, instead of just being out there somewhere and realizing that you're out there somewhere, but with no hope at all of getting back to anything other than that, because mm-hmm. for so long, of course, it's just been one of those conversations. Is this center? No, I don't think this. I don't know. Maybe it feels like center. Do you think it's center? The ego conversation. And we get to that place of realizing there is a space between the thoughts. There is a gap at the top of the inhalation and the bottom of the exhalation. There is that quiet that can just go out in all directions seemingly forever. It's possible to go into that and then to watch what attempts to pull you out of that and into the joy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can say they're intelligence recognizing itself.
Yeah, and that is what it felt like, was just the joy of intelligence sitting.
Mm-hmm. Being.
Yeah, nothing had to be happening. I mean, it was just, oh, right, this is what, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
Now, I don't want to be a downer, but I would encourage you to prepare. The conditioning might not be as happy about this event as you are.
No. I'm sure.
You're prepared.
Regrouping somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, finally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's good. It's what we're talking about with Rebecca. That's good. That's how you see it. But to know, now you know what you're going for. There's a huge difference between that, and mm-hmm. got a lock on it.
Yeah. I just love that modeling. You know, you're not saying there's this place where there's a gap, and then you can, I sense you're going there as you're talking about it, and then there's this pull. And while you're doing that, I can feel myself go there too. I mean, I don't know if it's the same place, but I mean, that's the only way it seems like that can be transmitted. Mm-hmm. Not in a explanation.
Right. Well, yeah. Both of those, actually, right? Because we talk about it all the time, and it's like, ooh, and you read something, and there's that feeling. There's that, you know, you takes forever to recognize that it's resonance, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But then there's that, I'm not sure, and then we feel it.
Yeah.
And we recognize it.
Yeah. And I'm just seeing, well, if I can do that now, when you're here, seems like that's possible at any time because you're simply a representative, an expression of.
Exactly so. Mm.
It's good to have the experience because this just can't do anything about that right now. I mean,
right.
Talk to me later, I'm sure, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's that image that we use all the time of hitting the tennis ball. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, okay, yeah. Now I know what it feels like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's just so much in this group I'm so grateful for. And one of the things that, I mean, I just keep seeing lately, I don't know why, it's rejection, I don't know, but just how people are talking about what's going on for them seems just really putting it out there. It feels very like talking from their experience rather than talking about fear. I mean, if I had to put words to it. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I just find myself like, wow. And I just hear people expressing all the things that I don't even realize are going on inside of me. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not allowed to mm-hmm. even look at. Mm-hmm. And it just annihilates whatever it normally does about trying to keep me separate from people. you know, like, well, they've got it together and you don't, or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like, it's all the same mm-hmm. stuff. And there's just no way to argue with that when you listen to people talk.
Well, and it's so helpful, isn't it? Because somebody says something, and I recognize that in me.
Yeah.
And I recognize a nuance, right? So in the beginning, it's like, well, you're like, I'm not like that. And then we realize, well, yes, actually, I am. But it's subtly different. And then she talks about it. And I can see mm-hmm. a little bit more. There's a little more clarity in this. And yeah. as we do that, it's like, because I used that jigsaw puzzle image,
yeah.
right? And putting the pieces in, making the picture. And it can feel like that's what we're doing, mm-hmm. is putting the pieces together so that we can finally see, experience, feel what it is that's truly going on with us.
Mm-hmm. That process is so disidentifying. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it just feels like it's being put together.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I'm able to be present to that.
Yeah, yeah. June and I were talking a little earlier today about what's coming up for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the pros and the cons of it. And I was saying that my hope in what we're going to do in this coming year is that we will focus very much on that. All of the things that may seem like they're so far in the past, that they're forgotten, but they're not. They're still there, but we're just not attending to them any longer because we've moved way beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be something old and forgotten. It may be
a stone, old and forgotten.
Yes,
nothing under here.
Yeah. And so bringing up all of these, like just what we were talking about, you know, all of these different little places and pieces and perspectives and experiences, and then talking as a group mm-hmm. about our experience with each one of those, and hopefully in that kind of a similar way to what we've done this year, but we'll remove a lot of what's keeping us from intelligence knowing itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when you're saying that, it seems like the process, because mm-hmm. I'm looking at it another way, it removes the illusion that I'm a separate person.
Yes.
And not the separate person.
Yes.
It's just starting, there's a little imaginary little shell that this form just starts, doesn't, like in this room, it almost feels like it's one bath or something like that, or mm-hmm. one, I don't know, and it's interesting because I had this flash today of experiencing what caused me to suffer so much in relationships. I'm supposed to talk to my brother on Sunday, and I made the time like I always talk, not taking into account that we have this workshop, and anyway, you know, ran it through, and I need to change times with him. And I just basically asked if he could start a little bit later, and then he called back and said, well, I'm really busy, can you do it another day, kind of thing. And just watched how quickly that went to this place of, I think, essentially feeling rejected, or feeling, you know, just went almost as immediately the story of, I'm a bad brother. You know, he's mad at me, or the relationship is so disconnected, he doesn't really care if he talks to me. And not too long ago, I was talking to you about, I had a conversation with my mom, and I was sharing all this stuff with her about practice, and she was like, well, that sounds like a lot of, it seems like you're thinking a lot, and it came to this thing of, like, she doesn't really know what I'm doing here, and had a little sort of meltdown around that. And one of the things you were saying to me was, and I was like, gosh, I just really want them to, you know, understand what I'm doing here and think it's important, and you were like, well, I wonder what they need from you. You know, like, thank you for all the stuff that you've given me as a parent, you know. And I just remember that hit me. I was talking about getting on the recorder and doing all this, and that movement, I mean, it struck me then, and it somehow, it just came right back around with my brother. So I started recording about, I don't know, I just kind of went into almost his life where he lives and sadness, and I was like, gosh, you know, they're looking to buy a house and kind of have an off and on things with his wife, and gosh, he worked really hard. You know, it's just like imagining if I was him, there's all kinds of things going on in my life. Mm-hmm. But from my perspective, there was none of that. It's almost like everyone in my family has nothing going on, and they're completely planned around from this. Because, you know, in my mind, gosh, I only get to talk to you every 3 months. I mean, aren't you making that the priority? And don't you know that my schedule is, I didn't realize how much I was, my schedule is, I mean, I live in a monastery, what do you expect? And not even taking into account that I basically say, here's where the call needs to happen, and they have to just say yes or no.
Right. Well, and with your brother, I mean, you had it scheduled.
Yeah.
And then you...
And then I changed it.
You changed it, and then when he says, oh, I can't do that, it's like...
Totally. Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, as soon as I went into just, I don't know, coming into his body and coming into his life, I just felt that separation, whoosh. And all the love that I projected between the two of us just came there, and I was completely out of that identity, which is so different. I was like, well, I think I used to do things like when someone, I would try to understand why they canceled or huh. But I could never, because it was from the same perspective.
Yeah.
But if that was me, I would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Although in this case, I just did.
But exactly. And I just got this flash of like how egocentric, I think probably most of the time, I've been in human relationships.
And I think you're not alone.
Yeah. I mean, but under the guise of, I'm not being that.
Yeah.
Or not that much, or I'm working on it, or
I'm meeting my standards. Mm-hmm. That's the killer.
That's the killer.
Yeah, I'm meeting all my standards, and therefore, I'm the right person, and what is wrong with you? Because the newsletter hasn't come out.
Did it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, because I was talking about that. You know, about how grateful I am that I don't have God's job.
Yeah.
For exactly that. Because, I mean, our perspectives are so limited.
So limited.
It's pathetic, and we don't know it.
And we don't know it. That's the worst, mm-hmm. actually. Thinking that it isn't.
Oh, right.
Or thinking that I'm pretty sure I've got the big picture here.
Yeah. And that all these people are who I project them to be.
Yeah, I mean...
And they're having their life experiences what I project onto them.
So it just came in just when you talked about they're all playing bit parts in my drama. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what was going on today.
And they don't have... They're not stars in their show. They are bit players in... my show.
Yeah, they don't have their own thing.
No.
They're all set up for, I mean,
yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so great. Oh my gosh. Sorry to everyone.
But, you know, they're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So
I know.
That's the comforting part. Which is what you got, right?
Yeah.
You are a bit player in these people's lives. And
yes.
Like,
what? Oh, yeah. But from that place of taking that perspective and having that separation break down, it's all fine.
Yes.
And even if there was some sort of something, I just felt like it would be great to talk about it. You know, it's like it's just a completely different place.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about the antidote. I'm like, oh, I know that movement, and I know how to make it in a concrete way. Just start stepping in their shoes and imagine what's going on in their life. And that was the antidote to...
Mm-hmm.
Egocentricity.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, recording about it.
Well, and looking at our own lives, as you said. You
yeah.
know, I mean, you keep a pretty tight schedule.
Yeah, it was like, can I call you on the weekday and evening? It's like, no. You
know,
how about this time? No. How about this time? No. Sorry, between 1:15 and 2:15, you know?
We're in the moment here.
Yeah. Yeah, that is relaxed, you know,
yeah.
Anytime,
yeah.
But not that
you're
time.
Chilling,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, thank you.